So we're gonna establish a quorum here for Senate Committee on Elections and Constitutional Amendments, and then Senator Bradford, if you indulge me, we're gonna take our consent item up while we still have Senator Leyva here. So just bear with us for 2 seconds. So, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Stern?
Here.
Stern here. Anderson? Allen?
Here.
Allen here. Hertzberg? Leyva?
Here.
Leyva here.
Very good. So we have file item 2, ACA 12, as a consent item. So if there are no objections from members, I'd entertain a motion to move that. So moved from Senator Leyva. The motion is be adopted and re-refer to Senate Appropriations Committee. With that, Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson? Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg? Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye.
Okay, very good. We'll leave that measure on call. And Senator Bradford, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. First, let me thank the members who I've met with individually to discuss this issue, and especially committee staff, Darren, for all your hard work on moving this issue forward and the challenges some think this issue presents. In current form, SB 1250 simply reinforces and further clarifies the intent of existing Election Code Law Section 2026 pertaining to domicile of a legislature. Let me be clear. This bill legislation was codified in 1983 by then Speaker Willie Brown through AB 1798, adding Section 2026 to the Election Code. Because of the unique job we as legislators have, traveling and working in and outside our districts, spending the majority of the year in the state capitol, the law was updated in 1994, establishing the following. The domicile of a member of the legislature or representative of Congress of the United States shall be conclusively presumed to be the address indicated on a person's currently filed affidavit for registration. Despite this conclusive presumption, courts have misinterpreted or simply ignored the plain language and legislative intent of the law. And I think we would all agree, if there's ever been anyone who have served in this legislative body who could clearly articulate what the intention of the law was, it was Willie Brown. As I have argued since day one, the goal of this bill is to clearly and definitively reinforce existing law. The intent of Section 2026 was enacted to prevent intrusive, open-ended, fact-finding missions regarding the residence or the residence of elected officials by overzealous prosecutors and political adversaries, or what many might also say, a selective prosecution simply based on race. However, while my goal is to build upon this intent, I recognize some of the concerns the current language creates. To that end, I'm committed to continue to work with the chair and this committee on amendments that will strike the right balance between accountability and clarity for the judicial branch, and also ensuring that legislators continue to reside in a verifiable way within the district they represent. The bottom line, current law can be and has been interpreted differently by legislators, courts, and public opinion, and the lack of certainty must be addressed so legislators can continue to effectively work in the best interest of the residents in their district. And to that end, even the SACB and other editorial boards have clearly stated the need for clarity in this legislation. To be clear, SB 1250 does not expand residency requirements for candidates, nor does it encourage candidates to run for office if they live outside their district. As a member who has lived on the same street in the district that I represent for 49 years of my life, I'm personally insulted by the individuals who would make claims that this bill is to skirt residency requirements. I am 100% invested in the Constitution and feel strongly in the constituency, I should say, and feel strongly that all the members should have direct and longstanding ties to the communities in which they're elected to serve. To that end, I respectfully ask for aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Do we have anyone in support? Any witnesses in support?
Eric Harris with the California NAACP in support, and we'll be sending our letter in support soon.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Any others in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Or tweeners? And, you know, maybe I should start by saying before the opposition or tweeners end up here, we spent a good amount of time this weekend working this through, and I sincerely appreciate Senator Bradford's patience and creativity in trying to find a solution that's hopefully going to remove the opposition. And the members of the committee here should have a mock-up of the draft amendments we put together that I think still accomplish Senator Bradford's intent to provide some clarity here in this murkiness created by a court opinion, but without undercutting any of the sort of public integrity issues that I know are of importance to the opposition. So I think we heard from the senator committed to getting those through. Timing-wise, we didn't have a chance to actually amend the bill in committee here today, and the senator can clarify, but I think we're going to be taking these amendments before the floor so that we're not voting on this, moving us out of our house without these amendments in place. So with that, I just allow you to proceed, give you a little context for the conversation.
Well, so to clarify, the senator is taking those amendments. We saw those that were circulated this morning.
Yes. Do we need clarity here?
We're not taking them today, but we're continuing the work in progress. Yes.
Can you get some clarity?
I think I've been very clear on where I stand on this bill right now. So I'm working with the chair and this committee, and we're working on amendments that weren't ready to be amended into the bill today. So.
Okay. So I guess for your comments, you should, I guess, comment on the bill in print, as it is in print and as it's been analyzed. I think we've got a pretty good framework here that allows for the verifiability that the senator was talking about. So I don't anticipate much changing beyond this draft here, but you guys can comment on the bill in print, and then we can decide as the bill evolves if you want to change your position based on what the amendments are that come through, then you're welcome to do so. But I think maybe just stick to your comments on the bill as it is in print right now. And then if you have comments on the amendments that we've circulated, we'd take those into account too, since this is the main policy hearing we'll be having for it. So why don't you try to parse your comments into those two buckets?
So before I begin, I either have a short statement or a longer statement. So I'm understanding right, there's not a commitment to adopting those amendments. It's just a commitment to continued discussion. I'm through the chair. I'm just trying to understand what the.
Yeah, I'll.
The chair and I are very clear on where we are on this bill.
So we're committed to landing this issue today. This is the framework we're going to use going forward. Is this going to be verbatim what's in the amendments? I will leave that to further conversation with Senator Bradford, but I would treat this as the structure of what members are agreeing to today. So the concept, I think, can we commit to the concept?
Without a doubt, Mr. Okay. Chairman, okay. I think we've had a long enough dialogue on this to know where I stand and where you stand and the committee as a whole.
Okay.
I'm not here to waste this committee's time or anyone else's time.
So with that, comments?
Great. Well, thank you, Chair Stern and members. Nicholas Heidelman with California Common Cause. Unfortunately, we're here today in opposition to SB 1250, at least in the form that it's currently presented, which would render unenforceable and thus in practical effect eliminate the important democratic requirement that members of the legislature reside in the district that they're elected to represent. Because the details are important here, I'd like to go over current law, the change that SB 1250 accomplishes, why we're opposed to this fundamental change in the law. Now, current state law recognizes that people may have multiple residences. However, for voting purposes, a person may only have one domicile, which is where a person's habitation is fixed, where they intend to remain, where they intend to return when absent. Most people only have one residence, so determining domicile is straightforward. That one residence is their domicile. Legislators, admittedly, though, are unusual because by necessity, through working in the legislature, most legislators have two residences, one in Sacramento and one in their home district. And because of the length of California's legislative session, it's conceivable that some members spend more time in Sacramento than they do in their district. To address this, though, Elections Code Section 2026 provides that the legislature may choose in their affidavit of registration which of their actual residences is their domicile. And courts treat that choice as being conclusively true, meaning not subject to being disproven with contrary evidence. However, while legislators do have a special prerogative to choose any of their residences as their domicile, the one thing they cannot do is choose as their domicile a place they do not actually reside in. So for example, a legislator could split their time between a house in the district, a vacation house, and a home in Sacramento, and still choose their house in the district as their domicile, and that would be conclusive. The one thing they cannot do, though, is choose a residence that they don't actually reside in and have that be their residence for purposes of registration. SB 1250 would undo this rule, though, in about a decade of consistent law by requiring courts to accept as conclusive whatever residence a legislator claims in their affidavit of registration, even if they do not live there. Of course, a law which is incapable of being enforced is really not much of a law. It's more of a suggestion. So under SB 1250, for example, a legislature could presumably pick a random address in the district out of a phone booth and register there, even though they've never seen the place, let alone set foot there. And that would have to be accepted by the court as a conclusive presumption. This would create a double standard, which places legislators uniquely above the law. Neither local elected officials nor even ordinary citizens, when they register to vote, are free to openly lie about their residence without consequence on their affidavit of registration. In fact, they can be criminally prosecuted for doing so. It also violates, if not the letter, then certainly the spirit of the California Constitution, which has required candidates to live in the district they run in for over a century. More important than all of this, though, this change would weaken a core democratic value that representatives should actually be representative of their constituents. When legislators live in the communities that they represent, they remain close to the needs and interests of their constituents. They understand the road conditions, schools, access to doctors, quality of air, all of that because they live there. And they can speak and legislate to those issues more effectively in Sacramento as a result. This is a common sense principle that we believe Californians broadly support. We've had multiple opportunities to discuss the bill directly with Senator Bradford, and I do want to say I do appreciate the fact that we've been able to have that communication, and I recognize that he's coming from a good place with this proposed legislation. Now, to the degree that Section 2026 can be written more clearly, we obviously don't oppose clarification so long as it is consistent with existing case law. Because we believe, though, that district residency furthers just very important democratic values, we must oppose this bill and any legislation or amendment in the future that would undermine this requirement in practice. Thank you.
Raul Macias, on behalf of ACLU of California, we echo the comments from Common Cause. We'll just add, we did see those amendments that were circulated this morning. We appreciate that the author and the chair have been working on amendments to the bill that would clarify the language instead of the way the current bill would change it. And if those amendments are taken, we would remove our opposition.
Can I just get some clarification from Common Cause, too? Are you open to changing your position if the current draft amendments were accepted?
If the draft language that was circulated is accepted, we would remove our opposition.
Okay. All right. Members, any comments, questions?
Well, I guess, so appreciate everybody's comments, and I certainly appreciate conversations that I've had with both the senator and with the folks from Common Cause. My question for you, Nicholas, is, when you talk about residing in, like so many things here, concepts that we can all kind of agree to in principle end up getting more complicated in practice, right? So, it is perfectly possible, as crazy as this is, for people to literally reside in three different places. In the case of all the members of the legislature, we by definition reside in two different places at the very least, unless you represent this area, because, all of us around this table represent parts of Southern California, and yet we have to be here for work. And so we've got two residences where we come back and forth. So the kind of the critical question becomes, what does reside in mean? And then with that in mind, how do you craft a policy that's truly reflective of that ambiguity? And I think that's at the heart of this challenge here today. I suppose it's your feeling. It seems that the draft amends do that. I have that sense as well. I'm seeing it for the first time, to, you know, just now and reading them over. But I do think what Senator Bradford is trying to address is this difficult ambiguity that exists for a lot of people, including, you know, members who may have a kid, you know, who has to go to school, and you know, they're living in two places at once, and you know, if they happen to bring their family up here to Sacramento, is that going to, you know, will the can interpretations of current law, if overly prosecuted by a zealous, you know, local district attorney, you know, are members vulnerable under current law, or at least under current interpretations of law, to being, you know, jammed up if they want to move their family to Sacramento? And I think that's part of what Senator is trying to address here. And I certainly do appreciate you, you know, being willing to remove your opposition with the acceptance of this language. I understand there's a little bit of ambiguity in terms of what exactly the senator's agreeing to.
It's not.
No.
Okay.
It seems like what you're agreeing to is to continue working with the chair. That you agree with you're okay. This, look, I'm just trying to interpret what I've seen in the last 5 minutes, but my sense is that you don't disagree with the kind of the general trajectory of where the chair is going with these amends, but that there may be a little bit of wordsmithing to do.
That's fair.
Okay. All right. So with that in mind, and with the, you know, I understand where to, I guess we're running up to deadlines, I suppose. You know, I think we're getting close. It sounds like we are. I appreciate the fact that the chair's been working so hard to try to reconcile these differences that exist. And I think both sides are presenting legitimate arguments, and I appreciate the hard work that the chair and the staff have been doing. And my tendency, as I've said to everyone, both in private and public, is to defer to the chair's kind of good offices as he tries to work out this negotiation. But it sounds like we're getting really close.
Yeah.
Others?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the effort, and thank you, Mr. Bradford. Again, in conversations, look, what are we trying to do here? We got an odd situation because people live in multiple places. What we're trying to avoid is a gotcha game, right? And I thought what you said was pretty smart. I don't know how to actually put it in the law, but you can choose where you want to reside, but you can't have a place that you don't reside in, right? It's the phone book theory. Right. What you said was correct. There is an elegance to a representative government that you do live in the communities that you represent. But if you, how much you stay there, and what you've done with respect to these amendments, which I think are pretty good, was looked at factors that are realistic about people that have more than one residence because your work is in a different place. If you have a child and you're here Monday through Thursday and they've got to go to school here, can an overzealous district attorney say that you don't live in the district because your child is in the city that you're there 4 days a week and you want to take care of your kid? We say in this amendments, Mr. Chairman, that shouldn't be a factor. That's not what you're trying to get to. What you're trying to get to here is to make sure that there's some teeth in this, but that it's not the gotcha game. We've seen this over the years. I've been seeing this for many years, in many instances. And I think what you did here was good. So look, I'm supporting it too, but I want to make sure that this really sticks. I certainly think it's appropriate and fair. This stuff just came down both to the Senator Bradford and from the chair, and I just saw it a few minutes before this meeting, that if you got to make some wordsmiths here and there, Olivai, go do it, have at it. Thank you for being chair of this committee and working so hard. But Olivai, you know, that's inshallah in a different language. But but in any event, I mean, I think that's really important, and I think you get it because it removes both of your oppositions and gets to the issue of the gotcha game, but still to the truth of the matter that you're making sure that there's that respect for the system, and I think that works. I think it works, so I'm doing it, but I want to make sure that you make amendments but stick to what you got here, and I'm with you, but if you don't, let us know and so we can make a determination as we move forward.
Thank you.
Senator Anderson, Mr. Vice Chair.
Senator, I think a lot has been said today. You know, I was thinking through my own life, and I come up Sunday nights. I go home Thursdays. I spend four nights a week here. Sometimes, because I'm on public safety, I'll tour a prison or I'll go someplace else in the state. I may not even make it to my home. Now, I'm lucky because I'm married to a beautiful woman who loves me dearly, and she stays in that house even when I'm on the road. But if I was a single person, the case could be easily made that I picked a number in the phone book, an address in the phone book. And the fact of the matter is, unlike any other occupation in California, your next opponent is going to make sure everybody in your district knows exactly where you live, and you better be able to defend it, or it's going to be front page news. So I'm not as concerned about this, whether you accept this language or you keep it with the current language or you do accept it. I think it's all on the right path, and the court of public opinion is far worse than any DA. So we should take the DAs out of it. They should not weaponize this so that somebody can use it because they want to make hay on a guy who's doing his job to the best of his ability. And when you stop showing up to your district and people are confused what your name is, you're not going to get reelected. So I think that ultimately the ballot box is the strongest arbiter of whether you're doing your job effectively and people know that you're fighting for them in Sacramento. So I don't care whether you take the amendment or not, but if you do take the amendment, I'd like to be added as a co-author. Because I think, you know, I was the senator, one of the senators that wrote the resolution to expel one of our colleagues. And I didn't do it until he was found guilty. And I didn't feel good about it, but you couldn't have somebody serving on the floor who had been found guilty of some felonies. But what he was accused of, and he was an awesome senator. He did a fantastic job. I served as his vice chair. I did bills with him. And he really was knowledgeable. We all lost when he had to step down. I don't want to see any other senator be put in that position because people are confused. And one DA, we have 58 county DAs, we have an AG. Who's going to cast that stone? I don't know. But in his district, everyone knew that he worked hard for them. And it was without question that he was working. So whether he showed up at his house or whether he was on the road working for them, I leave it to the voters to make that decision because I know a lot of money is going to be spent making sure the voters know every intricate detail about that person's life. So with that, I'd like to move the bill.
Thank you.
Okay, that's a motion from Senator Anderson. With the commitment in both concept, trajectory, and let me just describe what that trajectory is. Not solely relying on a political enforcement mechanisms or a sort of purely self-enforcement mechanism, but there's still liability for lying, that there still should be some consequence for that and some way to really to do verification, but not in a way that sort of has an open-ended ability to exercise limitless prosecutorial discretion to do selective enforcement, to sort of open ourselves up to the sort of political gamesmanship. I think this strikes a balance. So with the commitment to ironing out this concept, committing to that trajectory that I just described, I'm fine moving the bill forward today, and I will certainly stay in touch with the rest of the committee as this moves forward. And I would also, we will keep ACLU and Common Cause involved in this process too, to make sure that you guys are informed of what any evolutions in this language you're seeing before you today. So with that, I'd allow you to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you have my word that if this bill does not move in the direction that you're happy with, you have all the right to, you know, call it back to committee. I have no problem with that. But in this era of fake news, the opposition is clearly misinterpreted what 2026 has done, just as many courts have misinterpreted 2026. Again, this is legislation that has been in place for 35 years, and the arguments that they say this bill would create exist today without this bill. The optics or challenges of determining residency will still exist, or domicile will still exist, whether I do this bill or not. So this does not change anything. And that's the point I really want to make here. We want to restate what one of the most effective legislators who've ever served in this building clearly articulated 35 years ago in authoring the section that created 2026. And I don't think it's up to the court to interpret legislative intent. We have two amicus briefs from Ledge Council who clearly state that the court erred in their interpretations of what the intentions of this law was. So I am not here to skirt residency requirements or domicile requirements at all. Again, I live on the same street for 49 years. You can follow me home. But I spend more time here in Sacramento, and I am one of those single guys who might not come home over the weekend. It was even some reference of, do you cook a meal? I haven't turned on the stove in my house in 20 years. So would that mean I don't live in my house? So the point is, I think this is a common sense measure to address what we all agree is murky language and just restate what the intent was 35 years ago. And I respectfully ask for your aye vote, and I thank the chair and the committee for your work.
I just want to say, if you want some cooking classes, it might help you find someone. Yeah, all right, good.
It's in the cookie diet. All right, so motion from Senator Anderson, do pass. Secretary, please call the roll.
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Leyva?
Thank you, committee members.
Thank you. Okay. Why don't we open the lift the call? So we'll put that measure on call. The vote now is 4-0. She wants us to just close the roll on that?
Yeah, she said she's okay.
We're going to close the roll. Sorry, we're going to close the roll on item 1. That measure passes with a commitment to amend before the floor to the satisfaction of the chair. And item 2, ACA 12, will lift the call on that. Secretary, please call the roll. This is a consent item. This is ACA 12 consent.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Okay.
All right, we will, 5-0, that's referred to the Senate Appropriations Committee. And with that, we are done with our agenda for today. This meeting is adjourned.